Books of the Bible. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. It is a thorough, systematic presentation of the gospel. The two major themes are sin and righteousness. Sinners are counted righteous by imputation of Christ's righteousness. If you wish to understand the gospel, the clearest, most thorough explanation is in the book of Romans. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The following statement should not be possible in the least. This is Wretched Radio. You've been wondering if Paula White actually has influence on the president according to his proclamation. I would say, yeah, probably. Let me share with you the Easter proclamation from the president as we focused on Christ's redeeming sacrifice. Okay, redeeming, that helps bring some clarity. We look to his love, humility, and obedience, even in life's most difficult and uncertain moments. Okay. This week, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation. I immediately think, well, I think Paula had her hand in that because she would be one who focuses on the Holy Spirit, in my estimation, more than the Holy Spirit wants to be focused on. Having said that, aren't there those of us in the other ditch? We don't talk much about the Holy Spirit now, do we? And we should. After all, he is the third person of the Trinity. The proclamation from the president, we pray that America will remain a beacon of faith, hope, and freedom for the entire world. And we pray to achieve a future that reflects the truth, beauty, and goodness of Christ's eternal kingdom of heaven as he ushers in a golden age of America. Hold on. Sorry. That last, Jimmy, could you cut out that last part about the guy? I'm waiting for that golden age to show up at the gas pump, if you know what I'm talking about. Man. Okay, I don't know if this is unique to Atlanta. And you probably noticed this if you live near a large city. The further you get away from the big city, the cheaper gas gets. What's up with that? This random pricing business. Nevertheless, I'm grateful for the Easter proclamation that was given. However, he's not the first president to do so for Easter. Joe Biden said this in 2024. Let's compare and contrast, shall we, Jimmy? Jill and I send our warmest wishes to Christians around the world celebrating Easter Sunday. Easter reminds us of the power of hope and the promise of Christ's resurrection. Nothing wrong with that statement. As we gather with loved ones, we remember Jesus' sacrifice. Now, I don't expect a systematic theology treatment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in a presidential proclamation. I'm simply pointing out, you get what he's saying. An unbeliever does not. If you don't know about Jesus Christ, if you don't know at all what the crucifixion was about, as we gather with loved ones, we remember Jesus' sacrifice. What sacrifice? Why did he make a sacrifice? To whom was he making the sacrifice? Makes no sense. We pray for one another and cherish the blessing of the dawn of new possibilities. And with wars and conflict taking a toll on innocent lives around the world, we renew our commitment to work for peace, security, and dignity for all people. Well, it was a proclamation, all right? Oh, by the way, did you see, this might get up your nose. I'm sorry in advance. Jimmy, did you report the story? There's a senator, maybe you could Google for it. There's a senator who's proposing that Easter is made a national holiday.
Oh, I did see that.
Did you see that? Find out who the fellow is. Appreciate it, sir. I really do. But might I suggest that the government shouldn't be involved in our holiday? This isn't merely a separation of church and state issue. I don't want the government involved in Easter any more than I want their involvement in Christmas. Look at what Christmas has become. It is a national holiday celebrated by people who have no interest in the birth of our Savior. And the government, I have proclamations, okay, recognizing that you've got a large group of people in your country that worship this. Okay, they do those proclamations all the time. But that's different than having the government say, this is a national holiday. Why would I want to force somebody who does not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? So here's what will happen, in my estimation, if it's made a federal holiday. Death, burial, and resurrection will get, buried. And it'll be more about the Easter Bunny and spring and a season of hope and promise. When the flowers bloom, we recognize that love should bloom in our hearts as we love one another. And I'd rather they didn't, if you don't mind. Did you find the guy who's promoting it?
I did. And his reasoning is...
Okay, let's hear it.
So his name is Eric Schmidt.
Yeah.
He's a senator. And he...
He's probably Lutheran.
Well, I don't know that, but he said Easter is the holiest day in Christianity.
Amen.
It should be a federal holiday.
But hold on.
But
why?
Here's his reason.
Yeah.
From what I can see.
Yeah.
81% of Americans celebrate Easter, but our current holiday schedule makes it way too difficult for families to celebrate together. That's his number one reason.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Keep digging on that. Keep sleuthing. Otherwise, we're going to have to get Dalton engaged on this.
He's smarter than me.
He'll just take it right down to the... It is a $23 billion holiday already. Now, it's a Christian holiday. It's not a government holiday. $23.6 billion is spent mostly, by the way, on candy, which again, it's like, hello. You know what? We did chocolate too on Easter with the kids. We did. But that's hardly what Easter is about. That's like a festive accoutrement. But for most people, Easter eggs, Cadbury eggs, for some mysterious reason, those marshmallow bunnies, I don't understand. Unless you let them sit out on the counter for several days and they get a little crunchy on the outside, making it more of a texture experience than an actual taste experience. It's not about candy. It's about Jesus Christ, God rising from the dead, the biggest event in all of human history. Now, here is what we did Joe Biden. Let's do Obama. This is President Obama from 2016. Michelle and I join our fellow Christians in observing Good Friday and celebrating Easter this weekend. This is a time to remember the sacrifices made for us and hold all who suffer close to our hearts. See what they're going to do to Christ? Yet it is also time to rejoice, give thanks for the resurrection, and unite with Christians around the world in proclaiming Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We wish all who celebrate a blessed and joyful Easter. That's what will happen if Easter becomes a federal holiday. Christ will be robbed from it. He has to be. Because sharing the Easter story rightly should be a stumbling block to people. It should convict them. Wait a second. You're telling me God poured out the wrath I deserve on his son? What do you mean I deserve wrath? Hold on. Who is this God that you're talking? What have I done? I'm a good person. The story of Easter shouldn't be like, hey, kids, let's break out the bunnies. Let's go hunting for eggs. That is not what it should be. For us on this side of the cross, it should be a joyous celebration that death has been defeated, that you and I are going to get a resurrection body just like Jesus Christ. And if we do not put our trust in King Jesus, then God's wrath will be poured out on us. Do you think the government is going to uphold that? You find any more, Jimmy?
Yeah, so, I mean, the stuff about Jesus and the resurrection are just tack-ons to make his point. Again, he said Americans, families can't celebrate together. His reason behind that is because Easter is always a floating holiday that can fall between March and April.
But it's a Sunday.
But you can't plan for it every year to be with your family.
Oh, so we're going
to
make it a specific day every year?
Yeah, that's what he's going for. Yeah, that's what he's going for.
Right.
And he said there's also plenty of practical arguments for it, too. Easter weekend generates around $15 billion for our economy.
23.6, according to my article.
Making it a three-day weekend could boost that by an estimated 10 to 15%.
Yeah, so Easter's good for the economy.
Yep.
I love it. Just like Christmas. Mm-hmm. Christmas drives the fourth quarter. In fact, it drives the entire year. That's why we have Black Friday. You go from red ink to black ink because of the commercialization of Christmas. I don't like that Christmas has turned into Santa Claus. Why do we want it turned even further into the Easter Bunny? I know, perhaps you could argue there's bigger fish to fry, but I think Christians should be perpetually screaming, get out of our holiday world. You don't know what you're talking about, and you're perverting it. Introducing Santa Claus as the star of Christmas, putting an Easter Bunny center stage, that's a perversion of Christmas and Easter. Furthermore, it takes the glory away from Jesus Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection. So, while I appreciate the effort from the good senator, government, you're in a different realm. The church will handle Christmas and Easter. You keep us safe. You do your job. You bring gas prices down. But please, with all due respect, stay out of church holidays. They belong to us, not Santa, not Fifth Avenue, and certainly not the Easter Bunny. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And that goes for you too. Saturday Night Live. This is Wretched Radio. You probably didn't watch Saturday Night Live because very few people do, but they decided it's fine if we make fun of Jesus. That's right. They actually did an Easter skit, sort of. It was nothing more than a setup for a Donald Trump impersonator. They had Jesus and Peter, the disciples, as Jesus is tipping over tables, explaining basically, as I understood it, that's why they crucified him, because he tipped over tables or something like that. Regardless, it was simply used so that a Donald Trump impersonator could walk out and pretend that he's the Messiah. And this is the difference between Christians and Muslims on a lot of levels. They've never done a skit on Muhammad. Pretty certain about that because they know better. Because they know, first of all, it is offensive. But with Muslims, they care. Now, it might be because they're scared, but with Christians, we've given them permission to make fun of our Savior, haven't we? We already dress up individuals in Jesus garb, put words written by human beings into his mouth, and present him in film and on TV. Why wouldn't they feel like they can do the exact same thing? Furthermore, when you see some of the ridiculous nonsense that evangelicalism produces, the world sees this tripe and they must conclude they don't really take their faith very seriously now, do they? And it's probably fine. Have you seen some of the pastors? Jimmy, what was the pastor and the pot story? Did you follow that one yet, by the way? Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the initial, he said, you explain it because I don't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, so this guy gets out of the, it starts a video, him driving up in a parking lot, rap music playing. He gets out, smoke just leaves the...
Is this the one from Canton?
Yes, yes.
It's right down the street
right
from
down
us.
The street, that's right. So the car is just filled with smoke and it all rolls out as he stands out. He gets out, implying pot smoking has been going on in the vehicle. And he looks at the camera and he says, "Got the munchies? Come see us at church on Easter."
Wow.
It's on 420. Pot smoking holiday apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. And so we've got food. We'll have hot breakfast because, you know, you got the munchies. It's just...
Now, I have a lot of opinions on that. My understanding is he received criticism for it and he decided to address it from the pulpit.
Yes.
And how did that go down?
Very profanity laden.
Really?
Oh, yes. He called his critics bleepity bleeps and you're stupid if you think that there's something wrong with me being funny, making a joke.
Okay. There are shades of funny.
Yeah. I've got a lot of opinions.
Well, it first of all, sir, you have an office and you're supposed to be dignified and you're supposed to be representing Jesus. And the world shouldn't get the idea that pot smoking is acceptable in the Christian faith, getting stoned and having the munchies. Now, furthermore, we don't do low humor. We don't do worldly jesting, especially when it can be misleading. And we certainly don't swear from the pulpit unless, of course, you're Perry Noble. Then it's okay. Now, is there any more hullabaloo from this guy? He didn't drop the F-bomb, did he?
No, I haven't heard him drop that. I didn't hear him drop that. But the biggest thing I have a problem with this is the trite attitude towards drug use from a shepherd who is shepherding people who are struggling with those things.
Yep.
When they hear their pastor laugh about chains that they beg God to break, what is that telling them?
Mm-hmm.
That it's he should not be in the pulpit.
Are you suggesting he's unqualified?
Yes.
Well, he's getting lots of traction from it. I didn't think it was very well produced. Regardless, it caught the attention of the world. Saturday Night Live sees that and it's like, they don't have a high view of their own faith. Why can't we make fun of with Jesus? Because the world watches. And if we present a low view of God, what should we expect? What should we expect from the world? But let's go deeper than just Saturday Night Live. What do people think when they see perhaps this fellow with a marijuana thing? They aren't Christians. What do you think they conclude? What do you think that they imagine the Christian faith is all about? Do you think that they'd perceive there's anything transcendent that is inside of the Christian faith? I doubt it. Oh, you got it? Did you find the actual clip of the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, this should be just delightful.
We are who we are. I am who I am.
Oh, boy.
To quote the great theologian Dusty Rhodes, I've ate with kings and queens, and I've died in alleyways on pork and beans. Here's the deal. I've done this church thing for a long time.
I suspect you have done this church thing for a long time.
The biggest church in this city I started.
Well,
when I lost that church going into our fifth year, it was the 16th fastest growing church in America.
Wow, that's impressive.
There's no place I'd rather be than right here. 13 years in, 12 years in, whatever it is, I gave up the opinions of the religious a long time ago.
Well, that can be good and bad because if it's pharisaical, of course. But if it means that you don't accept any critique, then an individual is a proverbial fool.
So here's the deal. We're going to laugh around here. We're going to crack jokes around here. And the person you see on stage on Sunday is going to be the same person you see Monday through Saturday.
I'm okay with that. As long as that person meets the biblical qualifications for being an elder. Furthermore, do we laugh at Alpharetta Bible Church? Yeah. Do we have fun together? Yeah. But not during the worship service.
So if me making a video making fun of or laughing about the fact that Easter is on 420 this year offends people.
I think the attitude behind this is just one who simply does not recognize what they're talking about and who they're dealing with and who they're claiming to believe in. Why do we need to make a... God died for sinners. God rose from the grave. Hey, and it's on the same day that people are getting high.
That's their issue. And I said all that to say this. Let me remind you, we don't engage with religious assholes.
Nice.
You take the high road. Do not get online and argue. All they want is for you to argue with them.
No.
Most of those people are living in their mom's basement.
Sure.
Sitting on their phone, looking to argue about theology that they know nothing about and they sure as don't live out. They want you to engage with them.
Okay. Salty. Earthy. It's earthy.
Here's what we do.
You know, Paul used scubalus. Just saying.
We love God and we love people. We started this church for those who don't do church. We don't apologize for that. We will never apologize for that. And 13 years in, we will never change that.
That would be the seeker-sensitive model where you do church for unbelievers. That's, I think, entirely anti-biblical. Church is for called out ones. Visitors welcome, but you don't do church for people who are unchurched. You do church for people who are members of the church.
That being said, I also have a sense of humor and I was sitting in the office. Thought it was funny. 2 hours later, the video was made. There's way too much thought put into it. If you don't know what we're talking about, you should thank Jesus that you don't know what we're talking about. Man.
Somebody sounds a little angry.
Yeah.
People need to lighten up. And if I was, okay. I said also part two to say this. If I was ever reminded of why Action Church exists, it was this week. Watching people get that upset, back that up. watching so-called Christians get that upset.
Oh, that was judgmental.
Watching Christians get that upset about their Savior being mocked.
For people laughing was ridiculous. We sure don't do this for the money. Look around. They're just trying to get money. Shut the up.
There you have it right there.
Good. People are stupid.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And just so you know, these churches, they dot the landscape of America. They are everywhere. They're earthy, relatable, you know, because Jesus dined with sinners, partied with them, don't you know? And they totally lack any view of God. I promise you, silly jokes will not be made in the presence of Jesus when he returns with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing retribution to all of those who refuse to repent, practice evil deeds, and live for themselves. You can only imagine what their Easter Sunday service is going to be like. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.